in Alexandria, Virginia, back in the 80s, I attended historic Christ Church, a church that was attended by both George Washington and Robert E. Lee and other dignitaries of the past generations. And the rector had several curates or assistants, and once in a great while, he'd have them in a rotation so that they could preach. And when they preached and he didn't, it was noted that the next Sunday, when he got up to preach, he preached twice as long. Now, I didn't pick up that bad habit. Pastor Ronnie did a fine job last week on my birthday, and I thank him for doing that. So I just thought I'd share the little ditty. Timing, yeah, there we go, TikTok. The sixth Sunday of Eastertide is often referred to as Rogation Sunday. Rogation from the Latin word rogare, which means to ask. It's a time, if you were noting as we were singing the wonderful hymns this morning, when we give thanks to God for the bounty of the earth, for the beauty of creation, for the gifts of the food that are put forth in the fields that sustain us, for the warmth of the sun that warms the earth, for the rain that waters the crops, and for that food that sustains us. It's Rogation Sunday. Another way to look at Rogation Sunday is the way that Jesus is preparing and nurturing his disciples to bear fruit in the world. Because the passage this morning comes right before Ascension Day, which is, of course, on Thursday, when our Lord is going to depart from them to go up into heaven. And so he mirrors what he says on Maundy Thursday at the Last Supper. A new commandment I give you, that you love one another. So now he's groomed them, he's fed them, he's nurtured them, and now it's time for them to bear fruit. It's time to realize for them that they abide in the Lord. And abide is a wonderful word. Abide is a word that emits permanence. It emits dwelling in sincerity for a period of time. It's not a fleeting word. It's a word that reminds us that we are to stay in one place, to put down roots, and to grow. Now, when we moved into our home a year ago, we took survey of the property to see what was still standing after we had tenants for almost 3 years that didn't water anything. And you wouldn't expect them to. The former owner had a wonderful drip system all around the property, and she didn't care what it cost. She had everything growing lush. So when we moved in, you know, whatever was standing was going to stay. And whatever was gone is gone. So as we went through the summer, you know, it was we weren't sure what was going to happen because, you know, it was already hot. But this spring, things came back that we didn't realize. We had star jasmine come up in the corner. We had the jade all over bloom. We had the trumpet vine come back that the hummingbirds love. We had the roses that I tried to kill, literally, bloom again, and they were all wonderful. And we had this tree, and we had a tree in the front corner of the yard. And we weren't quite sure what it was. It was something, I don't know. And when we first moved in, it had these little tiny little things at the end of the branches. And I'm watching them, and they got bigger, and got a little bigger, and they got about the size of a quarter. And we thought, oh my goodness, we have a lime tree. And we thought, we're all excited. So I started feeding it, and I started to water it. I started to tend it and take care of it. And we waited, and the little things got a little bigger, and we thought, oh, they're midget limes, or, you know, tiny dwarf limes. So about the end of August, we plucked one and cut it to taste it. And it tasted horrible. It was horrible. It didn't taste like a lime. It didn't taste like anything. It just was sour and bitter. And we're like, well, I guess they're not ready. So I watered it some more, and I put some more fertilizer on it. And then come September, they got bigger, and they started turning color. They started getting yellow. And then they got bigger, and then they turned orange. And then we realized that they were tangerines. Yeah. So we picked one again and tasted it, and they were sour. They were really sour. So we waited a little longer, and they got bigger, and they got whatever, and I watered them more, and they got juicier and sweeter, and they were just wonderful. And finally, there was that gift of raising fruit trees. You know, I learned that. You raise fruit trees. And that's what Jesus was doing with the disciples. He was raising them to a different level so that they would bear fruit. And now they were ready to bear that wonderful, sweet fruit of Jesus' love that he gave them, that gift of love that was sacrificial, not half-hearted, but that love that gives completely and fully, that love that is surrender of self for others. And he tells them, no greater love does a man have for one he loves than to lay down his life for him. And of course, our Lord does that in his passion and his crucifixion. He literally lays down his life for the disciples. He sacrifices all that they might know the totality and the fullness of his love and his grace. Jesus says to them, as I abide in my Father's love and I abide in him, so too you are to abide in me. And that's all of us as well. We are to abide in that love that Jesus gives us, that sweet, lush, wonderful love that's not based on emotion, but it's based on the love of God. Because in John's epistle, he tells us, we can only love because God loved us first. We can't, in and of ourselves, conjure up love other than an emotional whatever. We can only know that deep and abiding love because Jesus himself gives us the example of that love. He lays down his life for his friends. Now, we think of friends. Who's on Facebook? Anybody on Facebook? Okay, you're on Facebook. How quickly can you have a friend? You can have a friend like that, right? And you can unfriend somebody, too. I've done that. I've actually done that. But they're not really your friends. They're just acquaintances out there. They're not anybody, probably, maybe the ones, you know, I have, once upon a time, no, that's not God calling. Once upon a time, I had only four friends. I had my sister, my wife, my next door neighbor, and somebody else, my other sister, I guess. That was it. And then we kind of left and I got more friends. But those are not friends. Those are just acquaintances. Jesus has deep and abiding relationships with his disciples. And he lays down his life for them so that they know that love. And what does he want them to do? He wants them to share in his joy. And what is the joy? The joy is the victory over sin and death. And as the epistle also tells us, that love is that which casts out fear. Perfect love casts out fear, so that finally, when we come before that judgment throne, we don't come afraid. Hopefully we have come with contrite hearts. We've come repenting of our sins and asking for forgiveness. But we don't come in fear. We come in hope, that hope that the love that Jesus gives us is that redemption that we seek and that we know that we have. So, three words: abide, love, and joy. We abide in God's love, we abide in his love and know his joy, and we abide in his love because he loves us first and he calls us to himself. So, don't be little tiny lime sour things. Be wonderful sweet tangerines when you share that love. Share it abundantly as our Lord did. Share it sacrificially. Share it to no end. Because as you empty yourself for others, the Lord Jesus fills us up with that love by the Holy Spirit. Be filled with his love, be filled with his joy, and abide in him always. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.